welcome to CAT Scan, brought to you by Integris. Local speaks louder than words. Tanya Lamb is the manager of merchandise for the Prince George Cougars. She's also the wife of the head coach of the PG Cougars, Mark Lamb. Lots of hockey, lots of Cougars to look forward to and discuss on this CAT Scan. Tanya, first off, let's find out about your job, because ever since Mark has been with the team, you have been as well in this role. Just sort of explain the duties that come with it.
I just basically purchase all the items that are in the store and keep it stocked, keep track of inventory, and then I'm in charge of a couple of employees that work in the store and sometimes the cart if the games are busy. And that's about it. Pretty simple.
Had you had any experience doing that prior to being hired by the Cougars?
Yes, I used to do it for the Swift Current Broncos when Mark was the coach and GM there. And I strictly was just the buyer. I didn't have anything to do with working in the store or nothing. I just did all the purchasing for them.
So this is a little bit more of an expanded role for you.
Yes, yeah, way more than I've done before. But I used to have my own clothing business, and I've also worked in clothing boutiques, so I know how to run a clothing store, even if it's a sports team store. I kind of treat it the same. I like to buy small amounts and have a large changeover so that there's always something new in the store.
What are the hot sellers? What do people want these days?
Oh, mostly hoodies, golf shirts, t-shirts, and then lots of souvenirs, horns, anything noisemaker. Those sell really, really well. And then, of course, the kids love the mini sticks and those items and the rowdy cat stuffed animals.
Now, with your experience, do you know what doesn't sell? And how long do you keep something before you say, hey, maybe this isn't going over?
I usually start, if I've received it in August for the start of the season, by the end of the season, I'll start putting things on sale. And people love that because you got to make room for new. So you mark it down to basically, you know, if you're just making a few bucks on it and just get rid of it, it doesn't matter. And the most important thing is people are buying our product. And so when you look out into the stands, you see more and more Cougar logos. And that's exactly what we want to see.
Are the majority of your sales, do they happen during the game, between intermission, before the game, after the game, or during the week?
We don't get a lot of foot traffic in the store. Lots of online sales, and of course, during intermission. When the doors open at 6, people are already shopping. And then, of course, in between periods, and then we close at the start of the third period. So, you know, you got a few hours and it's quite steady. This is actually the busiest since I've started that the store has been. So it's really nice to see.
Now, is that because these restrictions have been lifted and people are thinking, hey, maybe we're getting back to normal?
Well, I mean, no, because the restrictions weren't lifted. That just happened. This has been all season. It's been busy. So, which is really, really good.
Is there anything you attribute that to? Why it's been busier this year than others?
I don't know. I think people are just happy to be out of the house and, you know, doing something. Maybe they're excited to wear something, or maybe they like the stuff that's in the store. That could possibly be, too. There's lots of nice stuff in there.
I would be interested if somebody has made a request that for whatever reason you're not able to fulfill. That ever happened?
Like bring something in, like,
yeah, or somebody comes in and says, "Hey, yeah, can you order this, or can you bring in this, or something like that?" And you say, "Ah, that's just not something we can do." Does that ever happen?
No, I take everyone's request seriously, and I'll look into it and see. But if the minimum purchase is 1,000, then it's just not feasible. We're a small market team, and we can't. You've seen how tiny our store is. So, you know, you have to be smart about what you're going to stock in that store because space is limited.
Right.
So you want good stuff.
So if you're going to order hoodies, how many do you order at a time, and how do you know what sizes to do?
Well, that's the whole thing. You have to kind of learn who the people of Prince George are, and then you figure out the sizing, what sells the most. And so I've already figured that out. And so usually, like, large and extra large are my number one sellers. So I will order more of those than any other size. And it's, and I sell the least amount of mediums. I don't know why.
Really?
So, yeah.
Do you ever order like, do you ever order like extra small or extra, extra large, or do you just stay with the basics?
Oh, no. Yes. Yeah, we do. Actually, I have some stuff that goes up to 3XL. A camo hoodie and a full zip camo hoodie. And then most of my stuff comes in double XL.
How do the...
But I don't...
Go ahead. How does the Cougars shop differ from Swift Current, where you worked before, and maybe other WHL teams, or is everybody basically the same?
Swift Current is actually... They're open pretty much 5 days a week for sure, and then, of course, game days. And there, it's a freestanding store. It's big. But they kind of like the same stuff. Lots of hoodies, T-shirts, lots of golf shirts. And then they love, like, sweats and those plaid pajama bottoms. They like those kind of things. I don't know. Everyone is different in their tastes of what they want. So, but there was a lot more space there. You could really put a variety of stuff in there. We had a lot of kids stuff, a lot of baby stuff.
Do you know about other WHL teams? Do they operate similarly?
I'm not sure, actually. I haven't really gone around and looked at any of anyone's stores. I've talked to a couple of different people in the WHL that have the same job as me, but I've never physically gone into one.
Are you responsible for pricing, and how do you know how to do that?
For pricing, all you do is you take your invoice and you divide how many pieces you got, and then you put your markup in, and then that's your price.
But how do you know what the markup should be, or is there a specific guide or something like that that tells you that, or do you just do it based on your experience? And if it costs you, let's say, for example, $10, you say, well, I think we can sell it for 20. Is it as simple as that, or 25?
Yeah, you would pretty much double it. I usually do a 40%, but you got to factor in the taxes. The only things that don't get the tax are the kids' stuff. So those are the prices. The price. There's no tax built in for anything for kids. And we 40% is a really low markup because we're more about getting the logo out there.
I was going to say, like, 40% in stores, they wouldn't be able to survive on that.
No, but it seems to work here.
Right. And has that sort of been ever since you started? Is that a new format, or have you always been like 40%?
We switched it in Swift Current like that because they used to have it more, but then no one was really buying anything. And then we just lowered it. And you sell more. Same with the jerseys. We lowered the price of our jerseys when I took the job, and they sell because more people can afford it. And we lowered the price of getting custom kits if they want name and numbers on the back, because you don't need to make money on that. They're buying the jersey and they're wearing your logo and they're in the stands or they're out in public, and it's good to see.
Is there a particular player that is the most popular?
There is actually lots. Obviously, both goalies are popular. Obviously, lots of Zimmer, Height. I guess those are the main ones right now.
Yeah, like the top scorers and the goaltender Brennan, maybe.
Yeah,
Young.
The young kids. People are getting excited about them.
Did you,
for sure.
He must have had a lot of Gauthier before he was sent to Portland.
Oh, I had had wait lists for Gotche.
Really?
Oh yeah, people still love him. Like
Yeah.
when he got traded from here, I have a whole file of people that collect jerseys, and all my goalie collectors wanted to definitely see if there was something available with Gotche.
Right. That's
Yeah.
sort of interesting. And then, as you say, when something isn't selling as quickly as you would like, you start to lower the price. And as soon as that happens, everything eventually goes, I guess, if the price is right.
Definitely. Yeah. Like I did a hoodie sale just for the weekend, just to kind of get some, because I had two bins left of it. And now all that remains is the ones that are left on the rack in the store. So I think I sold like 30 some hoodies
How many
just by
employees? Yeah.
discounting them.
How
Well,
many? How many
I'm still
employees?
making money.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah.
How many employees do you have there?
Right now, I just have two girls, Georgia and Rebecca, and their dads both are off-ice officials.
So everything's sort of a family affair there. Everybody's really tied to the Cougars, everything like that.
Yeah.
When the games are on, are you able to watch the games?
I watch the second period because the first period I'm busy doing orders, filling online orders, getting them packaged, ready to go. And then sometimes I have to get stuff restocked in the store because it's selling. And then I'll go watch the second period and then it's time to close. So.
Well, you know the Cougars' first period hasn't been their best this season. So if you're going to miss a period, that's probably the best one to miss.
So I'm dodging a bullet.
Yeah,
Perfect.
exactly. And you don't get to watch the third period. You only get to watch the second then.
No, because the third period, I've closed up the store and I'm cashing out, and sometimes I'm refilling items in the store, and then I got to race home because my dogs need to get out.
The fans that you talk to, what do they want to talk about? What's the discussion? Can you tell if the team's losing? Can you tell if the team's winning? Talk about when you're just having general, discussions with fans.
Oh, well, I don't really have discussions with fans. Nobody knows who I am. So I just go about my business. I go sit in my seat. I watch the second period. I go back into the office. I don't really talk to anybody.
No, but I'm just saying in the office when people are coming and buying jerseys and they're buying t-shirts and they're buying things for their kids, they must
Yep.
just talk to, they may not know that you're the coach's wife or anything like that, but they must just be talking about some aspects of the hockey team.
Well, sometimes, not a lot. Not to me, anyways. I think they'll come in and be like, oh, great win or oh, tough loss. But like, no one sits there and chit chats with me. I think they're just in there to purchase something. Maybe they talk to somebody else, like Kevin, if he's showing them seats, they might talk hockey, but I don't talk hockey really to anybody.
Do people come in looking for something specific, or do they more come in just to browse?
No, I think most people know what they want to get or have an idea, whether it's they're purchasing a jersey for their kid or their grandchild or a hoodie for Christmas gift, birthday gift. There's lots of people that are on a mission. And then, of course, I get a lot of people that will order online but then send notes to me, inquiring about something. So that's
Who is
kind of
the
what happens.
who's the typical buyer? Now, you said you've got a pretty good understanding now of who that person is, but in generalities, you've got buyers from all over, I understand, but who's the most common buyer, I guess? Is it the mom? Is it the grandma? Are they buying for the kids? Are they buying for their husband? Who's that most common person?
Well, I'd say the parents of the players. They're
Okay.
very good customers.
Right.
They're very supportive of the store. They're always purchasing something, which is nice. Lots of custom jerseys with their kids' names on it. And then, of course, as the team travels and those people can go out and wear their jerseys if they're in Saskatchewan or wherever the boys are playing. You love to see that.
What about the Billet families? I imagine they're pretty good customers as well.
Yeah. Actually, I just had one of the Billet moms. She purchased something for some custom name bars or whatever, I think, for her kids' jerseys. But yeah, they can come and shop whenever they want to. Bev, she's around all the time. She lets more people in the store during the week than I do.
Now, Mark gets a little bit of time off once the hockey season is done. What about you?
Oh, yeah, I can come and go whenever. Like, all my stock won't start coming until August. And then, you know, I can take off for a week or whatever. If it's just one online order, Bev can fill it for me and ship it. It's pretty easy. I'm not really that tied to it. But then once it starts to get busy, when we're going to do hockey school, that's a busy time for me. You know, kind of days like that. But Mark, now that things are kind of back to normal, he's going to be busy because he goes and watches hockey still, even in the summer. So
are you a big hockey nut?
No. No, but I mean, I've grown to love hockey quite a bit. My son played it. And so then Mark being busy, I had to take him everywhere to every hockey tournament. And he started his little hockey career in Dallas. So a lot of hockey tournaments were, you had to fly to them. You know, we'd fly to Chicago or, you know, places like that because there's not a lot of competition in Texas. So that's what we used to do. And then when we moved back to Canada and Swift Current, then you're going to every little, because Swift Current's a small town, then you get to drive to all these other little small towns and you become a real true hockey mom.
You're listening to Cat Scans, brought to you by Integris. Local speaks louder than words. Tanya Lamb is the manager of merchandise of the Prince George Cougars. She has also been married for 30 plus years to the Cougars head coach and GM Mark Lamb. Now, Mark comes across as a pretty even keel kind of a guy, especially for hockey. Tries not to keep the highs too high and the lows too low. But I want to know about the real Mark. When there's just you and him, there's been a bad game or a good game. What's his feeling like? What's that emotion like? Is he as perceived as that calm, rational, even keel guy? Or do you see a different Mark?
No, that's him. He comes home. He doesn't really talk about it.
Really?
You just come home, you can have a glass of wine, and we'll watch Sports Desk. And, yeah, we're pretty boring.
So
we're quiet.
Yeah. Would you be able to tell, if you weren't at the game and did not know the result, Mark walks in an hour after the game, would you be able to tell whether the Cougars won or lost based on his mood?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I'm sure he'd be smiling when he came in, but he knows that I would figure out the score of the game anyways before he came in, but he doesn't, you know, overreact or be angry or actually take the game home. He doesn't do that. So he's gotten really, really calm as he's gotten older and, you know, sometimes what's the point of getting worked up over something? And sometimes you see it differently the next day. And he's a big believer in that.
So,
you know, there's no.
Yeah, you mentioned that you were not really a super huge hockey fan. So I take it when you met Mark, you probably weren't. How did you guys meet? How did that all come together?
We met through a mutual friend and we just, you know, kind of became friends over, it was in the springtime, just over the summer. And then, you know, by September, you know, kind of things changed. We liked each other and then nothing, didn't look back from there. I was 19 when I met him and we were together officially when I was 20.
The best and worst about being a wife of a hockey coach and GM?
The best part, I don't know. It's always fun when you win. And, you know, like you said, summers are a little bit more relaxed. We can go and do things. And probably the worst, would be the stress. Before he was coaching, just being the GM, just going around, he was gone traveling quite a bit. That always sucks. And not too many things suck, though.
And if you're in public with him, does he get noticed? Do people talk to him? Does that come about? Like, I'm just talking, if you guys are going out to the store or a restaurant, I mean, people haven't been going to the restaurants, so they've been doing mostly takeout, but, you know, that kind of stuff in the public.
Yeah.
So will people come and what will they say and what will happen there?
Well, we've moved last year, so now we're walking around this park that's across the street from our house, and Mark gets noticed quite a bit, just from obviously season ticket holders. But they'll be like, oh, Mark, and they'll, you know, have a quick 5-minute chat, say something about the team, keep going. But before that, no, not really much here, but everywhere else, obviously Edmonton, everywhere. When you go to small towns, you're driving back, heading towards Saskatchewan, they always recognize him too.
Let's go back a little bit when he decided to stay with the Prince George Cougars, although he had an offer from Dave Tippett to become an assistant coach with the Edmonton Oilers. Now, of course, Dave is no longer with the Oilers, but Mark was given an opportunity to leave the Cougars and go to the Oilers, obviously a different role. Now,
Yeah. He
looked at a lot of different things, but he also said that your influence was, I want to stay in Prince George. Just sort of go through how that went and what your feelings were, why Prince George over Edmonton, and your thought process regarding all that.
Well, I love it here in Prince George. It actually reminds me a lot of Edmonton with the river, all the trees. I just like, I like the people here. I think everyone is really, really nice. And it's so beautiful. Mark and I love to go hiking and stuff, so we want to get into that. It's just a good place to be, and it's nice to be settled, and it's nice to, you know, buy our own house and set some roots down here because, you know, we were unsure. And it was a hard decision, I know, especially for Mark. And, of course, I don't know if you know this, but Wendy Tippett is, like, one of my very best friends, and she was heartbroken that we didn't take the, well, Mark didn't take the job, but she totally understood, and because we're good friends, and that's just the way it is. But, you know, obviously it worked out in the end for us, but I knew it was the right decision because this is a really good place to be. It's, you know, I can get to work in 8 minutes. I love everyone that works in my office. Everyone is so upbeat and fun, and it's just a good group of people. And, you know, that's hard to find.
How did Wendy take it when Dave recently got released by the Edmonton Oilers?
Oh, I think she was relieved because she's never experienced media hatred and just fans in general being so ugly, because everywhere that she has been, no one cares about a coach of an NHL hockey team or, you know, even an assistant, whatever he was, where he was. So that was all new to her. And she hardly, well, of course, with COVID too, you know, she actually didn't get to see Dave for like 4 months because she couldn't get back in the country. You know, I think it was just a bad experience. But for Edmonton, like the place, she loved it. And she knew that was my hometown. And, you know, I got to go see her just once. I think, you know, he was retiring anyways at the end of the season. So it wasn't really that big of a deal.
Right. You know, so tell us about your hockey journeys. How many places have you lived? Do you have a favorite, and do you have one that you're happy you're not living there now?
My favorite place, besides Prince George, probably Dallas, just because we were there a long time. Our kids kind of grew up there, and we lived in such a great neighborhood. Our kids all played sports. on the same teams as the other siblings. They all went to the same school. It was just a really fun family atmosphere, and it was, and the weather, you couldn't beat the weather either. But yeah, so that was definitely my favorite. The worst place I'm going to have to say is Montreal. Sorry, Bev. It was hard to park there. Everything was hilly. I was terrible at parallel parking, and I struggled in the grocery store. I'm sure it's way better now, but when I was there, it wasn't. But I lived in a really cool house there. That was the only good thing about it.
Now, when he had a longtime NHL career, and I imagine there were wives clubs, or, you know, like all the wives got together of players.
Yes.
What was that like? What kind of bonds and friendships did you build? Were there some things that you didn't like about it that you felt you had to do because you were one of the wives? Sort of give us the pros and cons of that.
Well, everything has changed now in the NHL. It is not the same as how it was when I was there. But when I was there, all the wives, when the guys would go on the road, we would take turns and have people over, and you'd bring food and watch the game, and that's what you did. So that was my experience. And then when I was out of the NHL for a while, I didn't come back till we got to Dallas. And then it's like learning a whole new way of how the wives work. And it went from potluck to, you know, now the girls are getting it catered and everyone's dressing up. No one's in sweats or leggings anymore. It's a totally different ball game now. Mm-hmm. But they're all like really, really nice girls. It's just a different era.
What was it like if, you know, one of the players got traded or cut or things like that? Could you sort of feel for that particular person because of the bonding that was built up or anything like that?
Oh, yeah. Getting traded, it's hard, but it's part of the business, just like getting fired when you're a coach or a GM. It's just a part of the business. And it's hard not to take it personally, but you shouldn't, because it's just a business and it has nothing to do, you know, with you personally. It's the way it is. And so if you can just keep that mentality, you know, you'll be fine. So it's not that hard.
Yeah. Over the years, has there been any decisions that happened to Mark or whatever that you thought he got the short end of the stick on, or that you thought was pretty good, or anything like that? Anything that sort of sticks out in your mind regarding that?
No. I don't think so. Nope.
As you look back, being a wife when he was an NHL player, what was sort of the highlights that came? Were there games? Were there moments? Were there, you know, something that, you know, sticks in your mind?
Oh, when Mark won the Turner Cup in Houston, that was so much fun. Because I wasn't with Mark when he won the Stanley Cup. I met him the year later. And to watch a team, you know, go through round after round and they're just getting beat up, like Mark's nose was at a different side of his face through every series. Like he was so beat up. He had cuts all over his face, and I have pictures. And to just see them, they're just like warriors out there to win. So exciting. And a sold out building, which is where the Rockets played out of as well. Mm-hmm. So it was like just so loud, and it was amazing.
Yeah. And I guess when you take a look at your husband and been through the wars and all those kinds of things, I mean, that must have been a pretty proud moment.
Oh, you have no idea. It was so much fun. And then just like, after you win, all the different little places you go, and the owner of that team, Chuck Watson, he just took the players everywhere. We paraded that trophy around everywhere. It actually broke in half. It fell off the DJ booth of this one outdoor bar called Sam's Boat. It was so funny. And Dave Tippett brought it back to the house, and he got her glued back together. So that's that's a pretty funny moment. But yeah.
You talked about Dallas being sort of your favorite city other than Prince George, of course. But any special places, any special restaurants, any special places that you've been inside a city that, oh, that was fabulous?
Inside, like here in Prince George?
No, no, anywhere in the world that you've been. Anywhere that sort of sticks out in your mind as the hockey travels and all of those kinds of things.
Oh, like what's my favorite restaurant?
Yeah, well, that or favorite place to be or, you know, something you know, that you cherish.
My favorite restaurant by far is Nobu. If you like sushi, you have to at least go there one time. The food is so good. It doesn't matter what location either. I've been to several. That is my favorite. And I guess I love going to Vegas. Because it's not because I gamble. I just like watching people. I like going to shows. You know, I like walking everywhere outside. And so, I mean, it's pretty simple. Mark and I went one time to Canary Islands, which I think is like 100 kilometers from Africa. This is when he played in Germany and they were on break. And we flew there. And you think, gosh, it's like so far away from anyone or that you think you would know. And then I kid you not, like the very next day we bump into people from Edmonton and you think, what are you doing here? It's just so odd. And they're thinking the same of us. But I mean, that was a pretty cool vacation too, Canary Islands.
I imagine over the years you've had to pack your bags quite a few times and all that. How difficult has that been, or is that just something, that just comes with the territory?
No, I'm a pro at moving and packing. An absolute pro. I can do it in 2 weeks. I can have the movers pack this place up and be loaded on a truck and moving into another place in 2 weeks. I've done it several times. It's easy. And I used to, in Dallas, I used to have an organizing business, so I love to unpack people's houses too. I've done that lots. I like to, you know, organize closets, garages, things like that. So I love it. And every time I move, I just get rid of more and more stuff. It's kind of just what I like to do, purging. So every move, it's like a cleanse. You just kind of get rid of some stuff, donate stuff, whatever, and then off to your next destination.
It sounds like you actually enjoy it.
I think I do. I probably just because I've done it so much. So, like, I don't know. You just move lots, and you just get used to the way of life. It gets exciting sometimes. You go move to a new city and meet new people, and you know, it was a lot easier when you were doing it in hockey because you had instant friends. You just would get traded. There's a whole room of wives for you to hang out with. So that's a lot easier. And then when you have kids too, you meet people through sports, or that's how I've met some of my best friends, is through sports.
Now your kids are a little bit older now?
Yes. My son is going to be turning 22 on Friday. And then my daughter Reagan is 25. And my other daughter Adriana is 31.
So what are they up to right now? And are they, you know, as big, you would think that they would be super hockey fans and all of that, considering, what Dad did and everything. But just give us a little bit of info what they are up to and how big a hockey folks they are.
Oh, they love hockey, all three of them. My oldest daughter, Adriana, she lives in Calgary. She's an avid Oilers fan. And then, of course, whatever team Mark's with, she cheers for them. She'll try and go to their games now that they'll be back to going to Calgary next year. She can bring the kids. We have two grandchildren, so she'll bring them to the game. They love going to see Papa. And then my middle daughter, Reagan, she's in Swift Current right now. And she just finished school, and she's waiting for to be placed for her practicum. So she's just doing that. And then Hunter is just finishing up the year at Grant McEwen in Edmonton.
Right. So you've got them all over Western Canada and everything like that. And, you know, it's obviously, you would think, now Mark has done virtually thousands, if not millions of interviews. How about you? Have you been interviewed lots?
I have. I've been interviewed in Dallas, in Houston. I forget the name of the girl. She wrote an article that was in the paper about me and Wendy and how we were really good friends. I think that's it.
And what were the themes of those particular interviews? Just being the hockey wife and the pros
exactly.
and cons?
Kind of, yeah, just curious about what it's like to be. I think that one lady, hers was a day in the life of a hockey wife or something like that.
So what is a regular day for you? It would be working at the merchandise store and seeing a little bit of the game. But is there anything out of the ordinary, perhaps, part of your day-to-day life or that comes up quite a bit?
No, I told you, I'm fairly boring. Like, I don't go to the rink every single day. Mark and I wait for him to come home from practice and we'll take the dogs for a walk and eat supper. We're pretty quiet people. We don't really go out that much. I do actually have a friend in town here, and me and her were really good friends in Philadelphia when we were both just girlfriends, not married. And I'm sure you know her husband, Stu Malguna.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So that's Cheryl you're talking about?
Yes.
Yeah.
So Cheryl and I were really good friends in Philly.
Right. Oh, so that's a nice little bond to have. And, of course, Stu had a pretty good NHL career as well. And very, very well known in the city and all of those things.
Yeah. Yeah, they're really good people.
Right. Any stories or anything that I haven't asked that maybe you think would find interesting or something that has happened, in your many years with Mark, or something publicly that happened, or any unusual occurrences with fans, or something that maybe I haven't asked that you thought, hey, that might be interesting to tell?
I can tell you a funny story about my son. This is when Mark first took the job in Swift Current, and he was coaching a game, and I was letting my kids run around the rink because the rink is very tiny there. And so it was like a newfound freedom for them, because in Dallas, you're obviously very protective. And so the kids were running around, and Hunter wanted to stay longer because he had some friends at the rink. So while Mark is coaching the game, he goes down behind the bench and he's banging on the glass saying, "Dad, Dad, can you give me a ride home after the game?" while Mark is trying to coach. And security comes and starts removing him. And Mark is turning around going, "No, wait, he's trying to coach," but he's trying to make sure security doesn't haul his son out of the building. It was priceless.
How old was he at the time?
Seven.
Seven. And obviously he never got taken away.
No, he didn't get taken away.
No. But that was, I could see how Mark's trying to concentrate on the game and, hey, don't take my son away.
Exactly. That's exactly it. Hunter just had no clue. Like, when you see your father working, you're not supposed to bug him, but
right.
Yeah.
And you were around for that? You see all that?
Oh yeah, I was in my seats on the other side, but he was just trying to stay up later.
Right. Well, I appreciate it. It's been really good insight, and it gives a different perspective, I think, of the Lamb family.
Well, good. It was nice talking to you.
You bet. Take care. Tanya. All right. Yeah, Tanya Lamb is the wife of Mark Lamb, the coach and GM of the PG Cougars. She is the manager of merchandise for the Prince George Cougars. You've been listening to CAT Scan, brought to you by Integris. Local speaks louder than words.